yesterday afternoon, I was on Fort Lauderdale Beach looking at women in bikinis. Oh, wait, I mean, wait, I wasn't actually looking at them. See, it was just the periphery. I was reading my Bible, and I just caught the fact out of the corner of my eye that there were people, namely, never mind. Anyway, wow. And now I'm trying to see anything out the window, but there's fog, cold. In fact, our flight was canceled yesterday. Went from Fort Lauderdale. Hi, everybody. Martin Zender back in my Pennsylvania headquarters here in beautiful downtown Windber. My flight went from Fort Lauderdale to Washington, D.C., Dulles International, and I had a 51-minute layover. And I said, you know, man, I wish my layover was a little longer, that I could get something to eat and relax a little bit. Well, I got my wish. Our flight took off at 9:30 p.m., thereabouts, and it was only a 35-minute flight. We were probably 10 minutes from landing in Pennsylvania, and the whole gang was here at the great Johnstown Airport, and they turned our flight around midair, and they brought us back to Washington, D.C., because there was an ice storm, there was sleet, all sorts of evil, and I had to get a hotel room. They only comped us 40%, and even at 40%, I spent $65 for 5 hours of sleep, and the flight was delayed today. Anyway, all that to say, it's good to be back here in the wonderful wilds of Pennsylvania. I'm going to talk to you today about a subject near and dear to my heart, the fruitful farmer. We've talked about the analogies Paul gives Timothy. He says, suffer with me. Well, let's read the context again. He says, suffer with me as an ideal soldier. 2 Timothy 2:3. A related article there in is, no one who is warring is involved in the business of a livelihood, that he should be pleasing the one who enlists him. And in verse 5, now if anyone should be competing in the games also, this is the athlete, he is not given a wreath, if ever he should not be competing lawfully. And we talked about that yesterday when I was still teaching from environments that were quite warm and cozy and not sleet-filled and icy. Now, that's all right. So now we're going to talk about the farmer. And I have a lot to say about the farmer. I lived, I'm going to get to this, I lived next to a dairy farm for 25 years. I'm not too fond of farms. I enjoy eating the product of farms. So thank you out there, all you farmers. I thank you for what you do. If you've had three meals today, thank a farmer, or whatever those bumper stickers say. All very true. But I don't ever want to live across from one again. Paul's analogy here in verse 6 of 2 Timothy 2, the toiling farmer must be the first to partake of his fruits. A lot of people think that they're going to reap spiritual things and fruit without sowing a spiritual seed, but you don't. It's sow and reap. It's a principle in life. We talk about grace a lot, and we say that no matter what you do, you can't outdo or outrun or out-sin the grace of God, and that's true. But in the instance of smoking a cigarette, you know, how to be free from sin while smoking a cigarette, smoking a pack of cigarettes a day is not going to come between you and God at all, but you reap what you sow in the flesh, so you're probably going to get lung cancer and die. I know for a fact your clothes will smell bad, and so this is just what happens in the flesh, but again, none of this stuff comes between us and God. So the same principle applies if you're sowing positive things in the spirit. If you're working, you will reap fruit. But if you're not working, if you're not sowing anything spiritual, you won't reap spiritual fruit. You'll be saved, but Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 3, as through fire. In other words, whatever you build on your salvation, whether it's gold, silver, precious stones, that stuff lasts. But if you're just in it to get saved and that's it, then that's all you're going to get, saved and that's it. It's a great thing, don't get me wrong, but there are rewards to be had. And God himself works these in us. I'm not saying that the salvation is of grace and the rewards are not of grace. It's all of grace, but we are exhorted to work for rewards. We're exhorted to plant and to sow spiritual things. Now, I'm going to quote C.R. Stamm here, who Clyde Pilkington quotes in The Church in Ruins. This is the book we're studying, Brief Thoughts on 2 Timothy, Paul's Last Letter to the Church. C.R. Stamm says this, "The husbandman," this is the farmer, the King James says husbandman, "he's the farmer, and who will question that he should be the first to partake of the fruits of his labor?" Now, there's more of the quote, but I want to stop here because I think a lot of people would question it. I find that when we become spiritual people, we suddenly don't think of rewards. You know, we're spiritual. We used to think of rewards when we were Christians. We want to walk on the golden streets of heaven, and we want to have a really nice harp, and we think more along the terms of physical blessings. Now, physical doesn't mean they're not spiritual. As you heard Dan and me teach in our show last week, heaven is going to feel good, taste good, smell good, and it's going to appeal to our senses because our souls aren't destroyed. Our souls are saved. We're saved whole, body, soul, and spirit. So not only will our body be resurrected, our spirit will be vivified. We won't be able to die anymore. And our soul will also be brought back to life. So the soul is the sensations. Remember, Paul went to the third heaven and he heard things. He heard ineffable declarations. How did he hear them? With his ear, his soul. So heaven's going to feel good. So don't get the idea that it's not. So we're going to enjoy spiritual fruit. But again, we forget about this because we're so spiritual, you know. We don't care about any kind of sensations like we used to. But the sensations are still there. And there are better resurrections than others. Yes, there are better resurrections. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Dan and I talked about this a couple weeks ago. We talked about the different resurrections. There's the stars excel. A star excels other stars in glory. There's a glory of the sun. There's a glory of the moon and differing glories. Paul says, thus also is the resurrection. So some people say, oh, I don't need any fruit. I'll never forget Dean Huff, who is the editor of Unsearchable Riches magazine in Almont, Michigan. I remember we were talking about Paul's wreath of righteousness that he raced for. And this was surprising to me a little bit to hear Dean say, you know, I never think about getting rewards. And Dean just was a very humble man. Maybe he was too humble. He was saying, I really don't think about rewards. You know, it's not important to me. And I think we just, a lot of us feel unworthy. But doggone it, you know, we give our lives to this, and the toiling farmer should be able to expect the fruit of his labor. Now, I think Paul was saying this to Timothy specifically because Timothy was ready to run off maybe with Demas and these other guys who love the current eon. And Paul says, no, you are going to reap fruit in this life. Now, I bear testimony to this, that I have reaped fruit in this life. As I told you earlier this week from Florida, I sowed in the gospel. I sowed in this evangel. I quit my full-time, really good-paying job, secure job with the United States Postal Service, and I put my lot in with Christ, with the evangel, and I have reaped benefits. I have reaped many people. I have met people that I never would have met if I had not embarked on this course, and God has provided for my needs and some of my wants through the ecclesia, through the body of Christ, who give money from their hearts to keep me going. So that is indeed reaping. I have reaped where I have sown. And I'm going to tell you, it was a walk of faith to quit that post office job. It was scary. I went through a wall of fear and I worked hard. And God has given me the produce of my labors. And I think that's part of a big part of what this farmer thing is for Timothy. But that's not all, is it? Because we're going to reap big time. You know, they talk about the retirement plan. I'm not going to retire anytime in this life. Retirement is a Western concept, I think. You know, you're supposed to work all your life and kill yourself so you can retire and then die the next day. I'm not into that. This job is life-giving. It's so rewarding to see people getting the truth. So I'm not going to retire from this job in this life. I'll be doing it to my dying breath. May God will that. But the retirement plan I'm talking about is the one Paul was talking about, I believe, in Philippians when he talked about racing, running the race and the wreath of righteousness. The farmer is the first to partake of the fruits of his labor, and who's going to deny him that? He deserves it. The worker is worthy of his wages. Do not muzzle the threshing ox. And this was supposed to be, and I think it was, an encouragement to Timothy to stick with it. God's going to provide for you. And if anybody out there is, I almost said crazy enough, but as I say concerning my own call, I'm either called or crazy, and I'm not crazy. I know that, and I'm called. And if you're called, God will provide for you. It's a walk of faith. I can't explain it. I can't recommend it to anybody. You have to be called. And if you feel that calling, God is going to honor it. That's all I can tell you. He did it with me. He's done it with others. Back to C.R. Stam here. He spends long hours, the farmer does, toiling in the field, plowing, sowing, reaping. Thus, as in the steward, God looks for fidelity and ability. He looks for faithfulness. This is me now. I'm commenting on C.R. Stam. God looks for faithfulness. I think this is involved with fidelity, and he looks for honesty. We're looking you in the eye, the ability to look people in the eye and be able to tell them what you really believe. That's what the great thing about this gospel is, isn't it? Is that you can look at people and be honest. This is finally something you can own. This is a gospel you can be proud of. You don't have to, you know, hide behind the corner when you're teaching eternal torment, do you? Eternal torment's a doctrine none of us are proud of when we used to teach it. We used to try to avoid teaching it. Those of us who are sane, those who are insane, will just come right out and say, turn or burn. And they'll actually be rejoicing that some people are going to be tormented for eternity. That's not fidelity. Paul, this is God's looking in the farmer. He's looking for somebody. He's looking for somebody who's faithful, who's honest, and who's able. Just like the soldier, he looks for courage and self-discipline. All these, you kind of cross crafts a little bit. You know, it takes great courage to be a farmer. It takes great courage to go into an area where the weather's iffy, such as Ohio or Pennsylvania, plant a crop. You know, you might get a hailstorm in the early spring. There might be a cold snap. It takes guts. It takes courage. It takes self-discipline. You're not working 8 hours a day. You know, you work when you can. You work all day when the weather's good. These are the kind of qualifications God's looking for in the farmer. And as in the athlete, the farmer also is required to conform to the rules. You plant certain things at certain times. You know, you don't plant corn in the fall and reap it in the winter. You just don't do it. Do you do it in the southern hemisphere? I have no idea. I'm not a farmer. Believe me, I don't like the earth. I don't plant anything. I'm not a man of the soil whatsoever. My realm is inherent among the celestials. I thank God for those who do toil in the soil. I'm not one of them. So this is what it takes to produce fruit from the ground. That's the end quote from C.R. Stam. No, it's not. There's two more paragraphs here, but I note that I'm out of time. I got to tell you about the farm I lived next to for 25 years. You might get a laugh out of that. It's so easy to become discouraged. We're going to talk about that. More on the farmer. Don't live next to a pig farm. It's bad enough living next to a dairy farm, but a pig farm, whoo, the chickens aren't too good either. They're out there scratching, but they do lay eggs. Some of them do. Which, do the chickens lay eggs? Do roosters lay eggs? Hens, okay. I'm not too cool on all this, but ring every bit of encouragement you can out of 2 Timothy. Be the soldier. Be the athlete. Be the farmer. There are great rewards to be had if you stay the course. Let's stay the course together.